this week on Hope for the Broken.
If I'm doing what God tells me to do, it's going to be easy. And we get this lie in our mind of, well, if I'm living in God's will, then everything's going to just work out. I don't see that in the apostles' life at all. Jesus was fully aware of the apostles' physical, mental, and spiritual condition at this moment. And he is fully 100% totally aware of your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual condition right now this morning. Jesus knows exactly where you're at right now.
Welcome to Hope for the Broken, the audio podcast ministry of Trinity Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Texas. We exist to become a gospel-centered community redeeming brokenness through hope in Jesus Christ. At Trinity, we believe we are all broken and in need of the redeeming hope found in Jesus. This week at Trinity, we understand that even when we feel like we can't keep going, Jesus calls us and meets us where we are at our lowest. Here is Youth Minister Aaron Blankenship with a challenging message called, When God Takes You Where You Don't Want to Go.
If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open up to the book of Mark. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6 this morning. I will give you the honest truth up front this morning, all right? I am excited to be here with you. I am honored. I think it's a wonderful day. But this text that we're going to look at today is not super duper fun. Sometimes it can be kind of abrasive, kind of harsh. So I just want to give you the disclaimer. You've got me today and next week, and then it's going to be better, okay? So hang with me. It's going to be great. The Lord is faithful, and he is true to what his promise says. And I'm excited for what he has for us this morning. We're going to be, like I said, in Mark chapter 6. But before we jump into that this morning, I want to ask that you would be in prayer with me over this service, over this time, that you would pray that the Lord would soften our hearts to hear his truth, that we would be refreshed by his power today. You know, if you're a visitor this morning, welcome. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome to Trinity. I hope that you feel welcome. I hope that you grab some coffee on your way in. But if you're a regular here, if you've been here for a while, you probably have picked up on the fact that it's kind of been a roller coaster around here for a little while. We have had some moments where it's like, man, God, you were great. And then we've had some moments of, what are you doing? And it's up and down. And this morning, we're going to look at that in Scripture. We're going to look at how God uses that, what his purpose is for that. But as we do that, I hope that you would join me in praying this morning. I've prayed over this lesson as I've prepared this lesson. But it carries some gravity that I've really felt leading up to today. So all that to say, let's pray. And let's ask that the Lord's will be done and that he would be honored and glorified this morning. Father, we love you. We're so grateful that you've allowed us to come and to gather here today. Lord, as we open your word now, as we speak your truth, as we look at your truth today, soften our hearts, Father. Allow us to feel your conviction where it's needed. Allow us to feel your comfort and encouragement where it's needed. Lord, would you move in power this morning? We are here expecting you and exciting for all that you have. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful and holy name. Amen. All right, we're going to begin this morning in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. But before we do, look just at verse 30. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. That begs the question of where did they return from? Where have the apostles been? You don't have to turn there, but if you go back to verses 7 through 13 of Mark chapter 6, you can see that Jesus had sent out the apostles two by two. He had sent them out in groups to go, and they were ministering. He had given them some pretty incredible abilities when he sent them out. They were able to have authority over unclean spirits. They were able to heal the sick. They were healing the blind, healing the deaf. They were doing some amazing, incredible things. As they went, they were also teaching the truth of the good news that the Messiah had come. They were teaching the truth of why repentance was important. They were doing some pretty incredible and wonderful things as they went. So in a nutshell, what were they doing? They were out doing ministry. They were doing what each of us have been called to do, to go and to share the truth of the gospel with those around us. But here's the kicker. They were tired. They were tired. Anybody in here tired? Ever been tired? A little bit? A lot of it? Kinda? Yeah. I think we've all hit that wall of, God, I'm just wore out. I just need a minute. So I want to ask you this morning, what is the mission of Trinity Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Texas? What's our purpose? If these 12 were sent out with the mission and the purpose of doing ministry, of casting out demons, of healing the sick, of healing the blind, of teaching the gospel, what is our mission here? What's our purpose, our function? Well, if you go onto our website and you look at About Trinity, it says that our mission statement, this is what we believe. We exist to become a gospel-centered community, redeeming brokenness through hope in Jesus Christ. That sounds pretty good. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I think that is the purpose and the heart of Trinity Baptist Church, is that we exist to be a gospel-centered community. That means that everything that we do comes out of the truth of Scripture, and our purpose is to redeem brokenness through hope in Jesus Christ. That's the vision that Christ has brought to our church and the calling that we have been given in this community. Now, here's the thing. Some days that comes easy. Some days we get to redeem brokenness by loving on little kids. Some days we get to redeem brokenness by sharing food with people that don't have food. Some days we get to redeem brokenness just by being there for somebody. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes redeeming brokenness is ugly and it's dirty and it's hard. And you have to see the dark side of people that you didn't know existed. And you have to see that there are broken, hurting people that just want to break and hurt other people. And it's tough and it's a struggle and it wears us out as a church. It's exhausting. Some days it comes easy. Some days dealing with brokenness hurts far more than what we thought it could. Some days it leads us to the point where we want to just say, just let somebody else deal with it. That's somebody else's problem, Lord. Let them go and just figure it out by themselves. Let them just go and handle it on their own. It's their problem. I don't know what else to do with it. And we're going to see where the apostles hit that point here in just a moment. They've been out striving and working and ministering and sharing the truth of the gospel. And they're going to hit a wall in a moment, much like we do, where we say, God, I'm just ready for somebody else. They had been on an emotional roller coaster, much like our everyday life as individuals, much like our life as a church can be at times. Church is messy, folks. Life is messy. It has its beautiful moments, but it has its messy moments as well. But here's the hard thing for me to grasp, and it's probably kind of a struggle for you as well. The disciples, the apostles, were out doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. He sent them out two by two to minister. So they were worn down and they were exhausted by doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Sometimes we get this fantasy in our mind that if I'm doing what God tells me to do, it's going to be easy and it's going to be great and everything's just going to fall into place. And we get this lie in our mind of, well, if I'm living in God's will, then everything's going to just work out. I don't see that in the apostles' life at all. They're living God's will. They're doing what they're called to do, and they're tired. But here's the thing. Before we jump into our text this morning, before we dive anywhere deep through this, that you need to grasp this truth. Jesus was fully 100% aware of the apostles' physical, mental, and spiritual condition at this moment. He knew they were tired. He knew they were beaten. He knew they were worn out. And he is fully 100% totally aware of your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual condition right now this morning. Before we go any farther in this text, you have to know and grasp that truth that Jesus knows exactly where you're at right now. If you're a note taker, and you like to write stuff down in sermons, and you need a title to put on the top of this morning, here's your title for today. When God takes you where you don't want to be. You ever been somewhere that you didn't want to be?
But you feel like the Lord put you there? That's where the apostles are headed. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So if you would, turn your attention to Scripture. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 30 this morning. It says, "The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and had taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while.' For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." Take note of that, okay? We're going to come back to that in just a minute. That's a really important part that you need to be sure that you grasp a hold of. Now, here's the deal, okay?
We'll get to that in a minute. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get to that in a minute. Look back at your scripture here.
Whew, this is good stuff. Verse 31.
"And he said to them, 'Come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to the desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them and ran, and they ran there on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. When he," that's Jesus, "went ashore, he saw the great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place and the hour is now late.'"
Okay, we're going to go farther than that, but we're going to stop right there for right now. There's a few things that I want you to remember. First of all, the apostles and the disciples just got into a boat. Why did they get into the boat? Jesus told them to. They came back to Jesus. They reported all that they had done in their mission trip, in their ministry. They tell him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus tells them right here in verse 30 and 31, he says, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." You ever wish that Jesus would just tell you that?
Listen, if I could go to Jesus right now and say, "Lord, I've been teaching, I've been sharing the gospel," and he was like, "Come on, let's go get on a boat and go to Cabo." I'd be like, "Yes, Lord, let's go. Let's get on the boat. I'm ready to go."
That's what he tells the apostles. But here's the thing that you need to grasp, okay? This is Jesus Bible times. They didn't have a big, nice, fancy cruise ship. They didn't have a Ranger bass boat. They had a boat with paddles. Paddles, okay? The desolate place that Jesus has instructed them to go is 8 miles across the sea. They just came to Jesus and expressed to him that they are tired. They have not ate because people have been nagging at them. They've been dealing with everybody else's problems. They have not been able to eat. And Jesus says, "Come on, let's go rest. Get in the boat and let's row 8 miles.
I'm sorry, what?
Does that sound like rest to you? Sometimes when Jesus tells us to do something, it doesn't make sense. We're like, "God, I need a break." He's like, "Yeah, you're getting a break. Just paddle, Bo. Let's go. Come on."
And it's exhausting.
So a few things that we need to remember. The reason they got in the boat is because Jesus told them they were going to a desolate place. Desolate means far away from people, like far, far away from people, okay? This is a place where nobody else is going to be there. They can just relax. They don't have to worry about anybody else's problems. Hello, anybody ever want to go to a place like that? "I'm tired of people. I just need to get away. I can't handle nobody else's troubles today.
I just need a minute." That's where the apostles are at. Have you ever reached that place? You ever reached that place in church? Seems like every time you come to church, something else is falling apart.
Maybe not here, maybe it's a different church. That's the truth of life. The apostles are doing ministry and they're desperate to just get away for a minute. Sometimes we feel like that in our life. But here's the next thing that happens. They get to the other side. They row 8 miles. They're in this boat paddling. They get all the way across this sea and there's all these people. Now, we're going to see in a minute that it says that there was 5,000 men, but scholars would say that by the time you add in the children and the spouses and the women, this is like 18 to 25,000 people. This is a lot of folks. Can you imagine the side eyes that the apostles are giving Jesus at this moment? Do you think it caught Jesus by surprise that this mass of people was there? He told them to get into the boat and go to that place. He knew that they were going to be waiting on them. So these are some things that you need to remember as we jump into this text a little farther.
They arrive on the other side. Remember, they had to row across. They don't have a motorboat. They're already tired. As soon as they land the boat, the crowd is back. And Jesus goes straight to work. Why? Because he had compassion. I love that the scripture says that, though, that Jesus immediately began teaching them because he had compassion. I feel like the apostles are like, oh, no. Jesus, you got this one. We can't do this. This is too much. You're asking too much. Notice in verse 35, the apostles do exactly what we do most of the time. Look at verse 35. It says, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and the villages. The apostles are like, Jesus, we need a break. They try to remind Jesus of their plan. You ever done that? How'd that work out for you? Jesus tells you, you're going to do this. You're like, well, but I was going to do this instead. It normally doesn't work out very well. But the disciples, the apostles, they come to Jesus and they're like, Lord, we are way away from everything. There's not a Walmart around. There's not a Costco around. We don't have any food for these people. Send them away. Let them go take care of themselves. Let them fix their own problems. I'm done. Anybody else ever been there? Just me? Okay, I'll take note of that. Verse 35 and 36 tells us the apostles do their best to remind Jesus of what their plan was in coming to that side of the sea in the first place. They tell Jesus how desolate the location is and that he should send the crowd away and that they should fend for themselves. And Jesus responds in a classic way, just like Jesus always does. Look at verse 37 and how Jesus responds. It says, but he answered them, you give them something to eat. What? Jesus, we just did ministry. We just rowed that boat 8 miles. We just sat here and ministered to these people all day. And now you want us 12 to feed 18,000? Are you serious, Lord? Anybody ever felt like that? God, I'm tired. I need a break. I don't have anything else to give. Jesus responds, you give them something to eat. Now, here's the problem with this passage of scripture. Most times that we hear this scripture taught, we're teaching it to kids, and it's always taught as, now kids, what should we get from this? You should share your food with your neighbor and be kind. No. That is very far from the point that Jesus is trying to make here. The point Jesus is hoping that the apostles will grasp is when you think you have nothing left to give, Jesus steps in. Now look, here's the cool thing, okay? Because at this very exact moment, this is where we see our first point for the morning, and Jesus presents it. What he presents to us is that in our exhaustion, when we think we are totally spent, Christ proves his purpose. He shows his purpose. What does that even mean? How does Jesus show his purpose in our desperation? That's exactly it. His purpose for the apostles, his purpose for them being in the boat, his purpose for them feeding them was that the Father would be glorified through every single moment of their life. Sometimes God takes us to a place that we don't want to go so that he can have more glory than we could ever imagine. So that we could honor him in every ounce of who we are. We take an account of what we have to offer in our exhaustion, in our struggle, in our lack of having, in our abundance, whatever it is. We take an account of what we can offer and we say, God, I have nothing. I can't go feed all these people. What do you want me to do? And in that moment, in our exhaustion, Christ will prove his purpose. Look at what happens next here. Verse 37 says, but he answers them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see.
You see, when we reach the end of our ability and our plan and our preparations and our thoughts, in that moment, Christ shows up and he reveals that his purpose for our life is to bring glory to the Father through the very little that we have by showing the very how much he has, how very much he has. That's the beauty of who Jesus is. These apostles are wore out. They're exhausted. They're tired, much like a lot of us are. If I had to guess, every person in here at some moment in the last month, this is, man, I'm just tired. That's the ace number one greeting in America now. Hey, how you doing? Man, I'm just tired. Just busy. I just got a lot going on, you know? At that moment, that's what Jesus wants to do the most. Look back at verse 36, and we're going to continue down. It says, send them away and go into the surrounding countryside and the villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, go and see how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in the groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. Now, I'm going to remind you again, remember at this point, everything that's taken place, the apostles have just returned from mission. They just rode 8 miles across the sea. They've now ministered all day to roughly 18,000 people. And now Jesus says, okay, you 12, go feed them. Now I'm going to say something that's probably going to hurt some of your feelings, and that's okay, because listen, you have me today and next week, and then it's somebody else, right? It's going to be okay. So if I hurt your feelings, just come back. It's going to be all right. But I feel like right here in this portion of text, we see a miracle within a miracle. The first one is that Jesus is about to feed 18, roughly, 1,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's amazing. The second is that he told 12 people to do something and all 12 of them did it. See, you know, there's this unspoken rule that you have to plan for in ministry that if you ask 500 people to volunteer and to help to serve, whether it's feeding physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, caring for, whatever it is, if you ask 500 of them to serve, you plan on about 10% saying, yes, I'm willing to do that. So here we see a miracle within a miracle. Jesus tells 12, go feed the 18,000, and all 12 say, doesn't make sense, but okay, let's go. And they do it. And they move. That's a side note. That part was free, but I just feel like that has to be said. But why? In the midst of all that they've done, the apostles still submitted to Christ and did exactly what he asked them to do. And because of their obedience, because they were faithful and said, yes, Lord, we will go, they got to see something absolutely amazing. Yet for some reason, we don't see anywhere in Scripture here, there's no account here that they go feed all of these people. We don't see any account of them coming back and being completely amazed or moved to trust in Jesus even more. They go feed 18,000 people and they come back and all we see is, okay, that was cool. Church, how many times has that happened here? How many times has that happened in your life? The truth is, we have not had a lead pastor in over a year. The other truth is, attendance is up, baptisms are up, our children's ministry is exploding. Our student ministry is exploding. The Lord is doing incredible things. We're seeing him work and work and work. And we go, wow, that's cool. Where's my lunch? And it's like it doesn't change us or affect us at all, because the very next Sunday we come back and we're just as grumpy as we were the week before. It's the truth. We're just like the apostles. We're so tired that all we focus on is, God, I'm just tired. And maybe it's not the church for you. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your family. You get home from work and you're like, oh, I'm just tired.
I don't want to do anymore. I don't want to push. I don't want to try. I don't want to work anymore.
And we totally have lost this affection for Christ and for what he's done in our lives.
Well, it's at this very moment in Scripture that we see our second point for the morning.
Our first was that in our exhaustion, Christ will prove his purpose. Our second is that in our obedience, when I am obedient, when you are obedient, Christ provides beyond our expectations. In our obedience, Christ provides beyond expectations. Look at verse 43 for just a second. This is after everyone has eaten. Verse 43, it says, "And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of fish and bread." How many baskets? 12. Now, here's something that this has no theological weight to it at all. I just think it's really neat and kind of cool, and I want to ask you what your opinion is, so you can come tell me afterwards. They're in a desolate place. Where'd they get the baskets from? Nobody had food. It's not like they brought blankets to camp. Where'd the baskets come from? Because if you dive deep in this and you go down the rabbit hole of digging into this, we're not talking baskets like the little fruit basket you put on your table at Thanksgiving when people are coming. No, these are baskets that are like the size of a person. Like big. Where'd they come from? You see, I feel like even in the smallest of details that we tend to overlook, Jesus still provides exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever imagine. Now, here's the other cool thing that I want you to see. I told you to remember this a minute ago, but jump back to verse 31. "And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat.'" The 12 have ministered. The 12 have rowed a boat 8 miles. I know I keep saying that, but I'm just amazed. I can't imagine rowing a boat 8 miles across the sea. They have now rowed the boat 8 miles, ministered for an entire day again. 12 of them fed 18 to 25,000 people, and they still have not ate. I would be very hangry at this point. You know what I'm saying? But look at exactly how good Jesus truly is. He tells them in verse 43 to go pick up the pieces. And they pick up one basket of bread and fish for each one of them. You see, when we are obedient to Christ, he will supply every single need we have beyond our expectations. In your exhaustion, Christ will prove his purpose. In your obedience, Christ will provide beyond your expectations. In striving in obedience, the 12 reached the point of being exhausted and hungry. And now, the Lord has provided a reminder for how good he is by providing their every need. Let's continue to read down just a little bit farther. Look here at we'll pick back up in 43. "And they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat." Are you kidding me? They got to get in the boat again. They still have not got any rest. Now look, if you're like me, you get to the point where you just get tired of doing stuff. You're like, "God, you got to be kidding. I just rowed across the sea. Why do I got to do it again? Can't I just take a nap? And when I get up in the morning, I'll be more than happy to paddle across the sea." Nope, not how it works. My Bible says in verse 45, "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd." That means Jesus didn't give them a choice. He said, "You have somewhere that you need to be because I have a purpose for you being there. So get in the boat and go." That gets rough. That gets rough. They're tired. They don't want to go. Look at verse 46.
And after he had taken leave of them, he went up the mountain to pray. They got to get in the boat and Jesus gets to go pray and rest with the Father? That ain't fair.
Sometimes Jesus has something for us to do, and sometimes God puts us in places that we don't want to be.
After he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, what time was it when? When evening came. It's just getting dark. So we'll say like 7 p.m., somewhere around there. When evening came, the boat was at sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. They were tired and exhausted. And Jesus told them, get in the boat. There's a storm coming, and I want you to be in the middle of the storm. Let that sink in for just a second. We get so wrapped up in this lie that when we're trusting in Jesus, everything's great and perfect and easy and comfortable. And if God told me to do this, all the pieces are going to fall into place and it's going to be wonderful. No, Jesus told them, get in the boat and go to the other side. There's a storm coming and I want you in the middle of it.
That's rough, folks. But it gets worse.
Look at this, verse 48. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Okay, folks, the fourth watch of the night is somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Remember, he saw them in the middle of the sea at 7 p.m. They have literally been rowing all night. So now they've ministered, they've rowed across the sea, they've ministered, they've fed 18,000. Now they've rowed for all night again. They're exhausted.
But here's the kicker. Why are they even there? It's because they're exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. I started this whole morning with, if you've been here for a while, you know that life has kind of been a roller coaster for us. And some days it makes us want to ask the question of, God, why are we even here? God, we're in a place that I don't want to be. I don't want to be here.
As far as a church that doesn't have a lead pastor, as far as a church that doesn't have several staff members, it's a scary place to be as a body of believers. But here's the truth of the matter. Sometimes God puts us in a place that we don't want to be so that he can exceedingly, incredibly, whatever other word you want to use, blow our minds with how good he is and how much he can provide.
That's the truth of who Jesus Christ really is.
Now here's the third and final point for this morning, if you're writing this down. In our struggle, Christ desires our faith, not our all.
He doesn't want your amazement. He wants your faith. Look at this text, is what it says here. Look at verse 45, that's where we'll pick up at.
Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida. While he dismissed the crowd, and after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea.
Walking on the sea.
Y'all been in church too long. You see, that should have made you go, what? He's walking on the, he's gonna walk like 7 miles across this stormy water, and he's just walking. That should blow your mind. You see, it's so easy for us to look at the apostles and say, how could you miss what God's doing, when we do the same thing? We read our Bible so much that it just becomes, oh, yep, I just better read it. And we read something like, Jesus walked on the sea. And we're like, oh, yeah, okay. He's walking on the sea. That's incredible. Look, y'all made me lose my spot now. Where were we at here? There we go. Verse 48, And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he meant to pass by them. That right there could be a sermon all in itself, but it's not. We don't have time for that this morning, so y'all need to just tell me to move on, okay? Because we're going to move on. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. They were in awe of what Jesus had done. Why? They had just ministered. They were able to just cast out demons, but yet they thought he was an evil spirit and they were afraid. They were able to heal the sick and the lame, but yet they're amazed that he's doing this. They just watched him feed 18,000 people with 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. But see, they have the same disconnect and the same problem that we often do. We feel like we are so far separated from Jesus that there is no way, with us in the middle of our ocean in isolation, that him being way over there, he could ever reach us and impact our life. That's where the apostles are at in this moment. They think there's no way that Jesus could fix us over here. Folks, I'm going to be completely honest with you this morning. There are days where I feel like us here, Trinity Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Texas, are in a boat in the middle of the sea, and it's 1 a.m. and we're just rowing and paddling and we're going, and we never want to stop up and look and say, "There's Jesus." We'd much rather just grumble and gripe and complain than it's working so hard to get to where Jesus wanted us to go. Rather than looking at Jesus and saying, "That's my Savior. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I'm living in pursuit, because he can walk on the water. He can feed the 5,000. He can do all these incredible things." Look at what I left off on this last little tag of verse 52. "For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened." Now, I told you, Christ desires your faith, not your all. What does that even mean? There's a difference in being in awe of something and having faith in something. You know that? There are some people that do this crazy thing that I cannot wrap my head around. They take these little tiny strings, and they strap them to themselves. And on the other end of that little tiny string, there's some really thin canvas. It's made out of the same stuff as like the tent that I take to the beach with me. And for some reason, they have it in their head that that little string and that canvas can catch them when they jump out of an airplane. Don't understand it. Now, I love it. I think it's incredible, and it gives me an awe factor like nothing else. I remember being a kid, going to 4th of July fireworks shows, watching them jump out with the flag and going, "That's amazing!" But I promise you, 100% guarantee you, my awe at the fact that people do it does not produce 1 ounce of faith in my heart that I could do that and survive. I have the awe factor. It's amazing. I'm awestruck when I see it. But there is zero faith in Aaron Blankenship that he could jump out of an airplane with a parachute and land safely on the ground. You see, when Jesus does incredible things, when he puts us in places that we don't want to be, much like we are right now, we're desperate for the man that the Lord has specifically designed to lead and cast vision for our church. And we don't want to be here. We don't want to have to look. We don't want to have to search. We don't want to have to serve and fill in holes and plug gaps. But there are times where the Lord places us in those positions, not so that he could look at us and say, "Look how awestruck they are at my goodness." No, he places us in those positions so he can look at us and say, "Look at the faith that I've produced in them. They're willing to do anything because they know that I'm sufficient. They're willing to follow me anywhere because they know that I will provide exceedingly abundantly beyond what they could ever imagine. They know that they can trust me beyond a shadow of a doubt because I will provide again and again and again and again." Church, my hope is that this morning, your heart, my heart, is not hardened to the things that the Lord is doing around us to the point that we are awestruck,
I hope that our hearts are soft so that when we see the Lord doing amazing things, we are moved to say, that's my Savior, and I'll follow him anywhere. I'll do whatever he calls me to do. I'll step in wherever he asks me to step in. I'll serve in whatever he asks me to do. You see, my hope is that just as Jesus reached down and grabbed a hold of the apostles, that when he reaches and grabs a hold of Trinity Baptist Church, we can say, Lord, here am I. Let's go. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care who's leading. I don't care who's in the office. I don't care who's doing. I don't care. Jesus, I just want, as a body of believers, to live in pursuit of you, redeeming brokenness through hope found only in Jesus Christ. That's my hope for Trinity Baptist Church. That's my prayer for your family when you go home. That you're not awestruck with how good God is, but you are so moved in faith with how good that he is that you can say, God, I'll follow you anywhere. Now, next week, we're going to tag on to the end of this because just shortly after this, Jesus looks at the same apostles and he says, you're going to leave? Or are you going to stay here? You're going to serve? You're going to follow me? Or are you jumping ship? Now, I'll give you the disclaimer. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be hard. I'm going to step on my toes, your toes, the chair's toes, everybody. But I hope that you'll join us next week. I hope that when you leave today, that you are moved by the Holy Spirit, that you are filled with his glory and his strength, and you are empowered and emboldened to step out and say, that's my Jesus, and I don't care where he leads me, I'm going to go. Whether it's where I want to be or not, that's where I'm going to go. Say, Aaron, why? Why would I ever do that? How could I ever do that? Because in light of this momentary affliction, in light of all the struggles, the roller coaster of emotions, the roller coaster of stress, the roller coaster of I'm just tired and I'm wore out and I'm good and I'm not, and all of this, in light of this momentary affliction, knowing that he is producing in you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, as we stay focused on eternity and on heaven everlasting and on the throne of Christ, not on our current situations, you focus on the current situations, you get exhausted. You focus on eternity, you get empowered. As we focus on the things that are unseen, for the things that are unseen are transient, they are eternal. But the things that are seen are transient, they are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. My prayer this morning is that as we press in as a body of believers, that we can look up and we can see Jesus and we can say, that's my King. That's the one that I follow. No matter if he takes me where I don't want to go, or if he blesses me and says, go to Cabo for the week, I want to go where Jesus tells me to go. We're going to pray. At the closing of this time, our elders will be available. If you need to come and say, hey, I need to do more. I need to serve. I need to live in pursuit of Jesus. I need to know what it even means to serve. Come talk to someone. We have holes, I promise you. We've got 5,000 kids down there that need fed every Wednesday. Come hand them a chicken nugget and say, Jesus loves you. You can do it. We have men's ministry that's desperate for leaders to step up and say, I want to pursue the Lord and show what a true manhood in Christ looks like. We have women's ministry that needs people to step up and say, I want to be a daughter of Christ and share the love of Christ with other women. There are places to serve. Step in and trust that the Lord will provide beyond your expectation. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We are so grateful for your goodness. Lord, for your mercy, that you provide beyond what we could ever imagine. Lord, my heart, my prayer this morning is that we would surrender and submit to you wholeheartedly in faith now, rather than having to go through the storm for you to get our attention. But Lord, this morning,
God, today, as we go home, as we go to our families, allow us to rest in you. Lord, we are tired. We are exhausted. But we know that in the midst of our exhaustion, Lord, that you show your purpose. We know that in the midst of our obedience, Lord, you show your provision. In the midst of our struggle, God, you have so much in store for us. We pray this in your wonderful and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to Trinity Baptist Church's Hope for the Broken podcast. We pray that today's message encouraged and challenged you in your walk with Christ. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit us at trinitytx.org or reach out to us at 903-572-1959, or you can email us at info@trinitytx.org. If you're ever in the East Texas area, join us for worship on Sundays at 9:30 or 11 a.m. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week on Hope for the Broken.